Married at First Sight. Chapter 4055. Tatum said, "Mr. Lab approached you because he's clearly looking to collaborate with your company. However, he's just the acting head of the Lab family, not the true decision maker. If the real head returns, all his hard work will only serve someone else's agenda. He knows this too well. Look at what happened to the head of the Farrell family in Jensberg. It must have been a wake-up call for him. He doesn't want to meet the same fate. That's why this business he's proposing must be his personal venture, but he's disguising it under the Lab family's banner. After all, the Lab family wields immense influence in Province X. Financially, the Ormond family and the Lab family might be on par, but the Lab family's influence in Province X far surpasses that of the Ormonds, especially given the Ormond family's smaller size." Ellora responded, her tone laced with skepticism. "He's highly ambitious. Right now, the collaboration is in its early stages, but eventually, he'll find ways to cheat us and try to swallow the Ormond family's business. On top of that, he's notorious for his lustful behavior. He's ruined countless lives. Some women even lost their lives because of him. If he tires of someone, he lets his wife handle the dirty work, punishing mistresses, forcing abortions on women who want to keep their babies. His scandals have long been the talk of Province X. People who want favors from him know the drill. Send a beautiful woman his way, and he'll grant their requests without hesitation." Tatum fell silent for a moment before finally saying, "Men with money and power often fall into two traps, gambling or women. How many can truly stay clean and loyal to their families? The men of the York family are different, though. They're so admired, and their family values are deeply respected. With the backing of other influential families, the York family has become a symbol of honor. It's no wonder families with eligible daughters dream of marrying into the York family." Then, Tatum's voice grew serious. "Miss, your sisters are all young and beautiful. I worry they may become targets." Ellora's eyes narrowed as she turned to look at him. After a long pause, she asked, "Mr. Lab has only visited a few times. How can you be so sure of his ambition?" Tatum replied, "I've known about Mr. Lab for some time. While we're not close, his reputation precedes him. His appetite for women is no secret. He changes mistresses as often as he changes clothes. You said it yourself, everyone in Province X knows this. Last year, he made several trips to Wiltspoon and even had indirect dealings with the York family. Let's just say those interactions weren't exactly positive. That's how I came to know more about him." Tatum stopped short of mentioning Titus. Although Ellora was his fiancé and someone he trusted, the fewer people who knew about Titus, the better. If she ever crossed paths with Titus in the future, she'd learn everything on her own. For now, it was better to leave that chapter unopened. Titus, after all, kept to himself, living a quiet life with the family's elders. He rarely visited Wiltspoon, let alone ventured to Annenberg in Province X, so Ellora was unlikely to meet him. The less she knew, the less entangled the Ormond family would become in matters involving Titus. The Ormond family was located just 200 kilometers away from the Lab family. With someone as ruthless as Mr. Lab targeting them, it wouldn't take much for their family to falter under his schemes. Ellora trusted her instincts. Rosie once said the York family was like local royalty in Wiltspoon, with their ears to the ground and an extensive network of connections. The Butcham family, known for their exceptional intelligence network, had a close alliance with the Yorks, making them a formidable source of information. Married at First Sight. Chapter 4056. Chapter 4056. Ellora said, "The Ormond family is full of daughters, and my two younger brothers are only 7 and 6. They're too young to take on the responsibilities of the family. Big families with their eyes on us see an opportunity. They either attack us openly or scheme in the shadows. I've been running the family business for years now, and I've experienced both the warmth and coldness of people, as well as the darker sides of human nature. Even our own relatives hope for our downfall so they can carve up the family's assets. When Elora first took over the business, the older generation relatives and so-called friends from her grandparents and parents' circles did everything they could to sabotage her. They plotted against her, tripped her up at every turn, and manipulated her in countless ways. They saw her as an easy target, someone they could take advantage of. They didn't want her to gain control of the Ormond family business, let alone establish her authority. Some even conspired with outsiders to undermine her in the corporate world. She suffered countless losses, endured relentless schemes, and faced several accidents that nearly cost her life. It wasn't until she stared death in the face multiple times that she truly understood the depths of human cruelty. From then on, she resolved to protect herself by becoming colder, tougher, and more calculated. Taking over her family's business felt less like running a company and more like fighting for a throne. Like emperors of old, she had to claw her way to the top and then defend her position fiercely. It was exhausting, both physically and emotionally. She felt disappointment and weariness, but she endured. And now, after everything, the Ormond family business was firmly in her hands. The relatives and friends who once betrayed her had paid the price. Those who plotted against her were ruined, living lives worse than stray dogs. Some fled Annenberg entirely, cutting off contact in a desperate attempt to protect what little they had left. As for the ones who tried to take her life, they were rotting in prison. "Don't underestimate me just because I'm a woman," Elora said with steel in her voice. "The family I grew up in taught me to be as ruthless as I needed to be. Showing kindness to enemies is cruelty to yourself. And I have no intention of being cruel to myself." She never spared those who harmed her, not when they begged for mercy, and not when they sent others to plead on their behalf. Elora wasn't a saint, and she never pretended to be one. "People in my position can't afford to be saints," she continued. "If you're too soft, you'll destroy yourself. I've had to be ruthless. It's the only way to make others think twice before targeting me or coveting the Ormond family's assets." Yes, most of her generation in the Ormond family were women. But daughters were just as capable of carrying on the family legacy as sons. The worst of her relatives used to argue that daughters shouldn't inherit or take over the family business because they would eventually marry and leave. "Get out of here with that nonsense," Elora said with a sharp edge. "Who are they to tell me how to run my family?" Tatum chimed in, his tone somber. "It doesn't matter who you are or what family you come from, if you're not strong, you'll be trampled on. The world isn't fair. It's survival of the fittest. My grandmother always told us that wealth rarely lasts beyond three generations. She dedicated herself to raising my brothers and me to be strong and capable. Our York family has managed to sustain its fortune for generations, but that's only because we've worked hard to protect the foundation our ancestors built." "But nothing lasts forever," Tatum continued. "Even the biggest companies face the risk of being left behind. The world is changing so fast, and industries are becoming saturated. Sometimes, it's not about failing to protect your legacy, it's about being overtaken by the times." "Sure, we can try to adapt, but successful transformations are rare. And the stakes are enormous. If York Corporation were to go under, nearly 100,000 people would lose their jobs. Many of them have been with us for 10, 20 years or more. They're older now, with aging parents and young children to support. Losing their jobs would devastate their lives." Tatum's voice softened, a hint of weariness creeping in. "People in power carry a heavy burden. The pressures and worries never go away." Married at First Sight, Chapter 4057. Chapter 4057. Elora turned her head toward Tatum. Tatum paused his massage and asked softly, "Is it uncomfortable?" "I can adjust. I'm not very experienced since I rarely give massages, but I'd like to get better. Whenever I have time in the future, I'll give you more massages to improve my skills so I can serve you better." Elora smiled gently. "No, it's perfect. Every time you talk about old Mrs. York, I can't help but want to meet her. To Elora, old Mrs. York had become a figure of legend, an extraordinary woman with an indelible presence. Tatum kept his thoughts to himself. Grandma has already seen you before, and you've seen her too, you just didn't realize who she was. His grandmother had chosen Elora for him after what must have been a lengthy period of observation. She'd taken the time to understand Elora, to see her strength and integrity. Grandma must have been confident in Elora's character and abilities to have made her choice. When you're less busy, if you're interested, you could visit Wiltspoon in the spring, Tatum suggested. When the flowers are in full bloom, the scenery is breathtaking. I'd be happy to be your personal tour guide, and I'll cover everything, lodging, meals, and even your round-trip tickets. Elora's smile widened. It's been so long since I've traveled. My schedule is always packed, and it's hard to find time. Maybe someday. Or you could invite your grandmother to visit Annenberg. Although, I imagine traveling might be inconvenient for her at her age. If she's willing, I could arrange for a private plane to bring her here. I'd really love to meet her, I'm so curious about her. Elora admired strong women above all else. Women like old Mrs. York, who had wielded power and influence from a young age and carried it gracefully into old age, were her inspiration. Tatum replied, Grandma isn't home right now. She's out traveling. She's still in great health and loves her adventures. Sometimes she even sneaks away without telling us. Last year, she stayed close to home because my eldest brother kept urging her to. That was mostly because my sister-in-law was pregnant, and Grandma wanted to make sure my brother was taking good care of her. But now that the baby's born, she's back to her adventures. This time, she took my mom and two aunts with her. My dad, meanwhile, stayed home by himself. He was so lonely he called my brother to complain about it. Elora's interest in the York family deepened with every word. Hearing Tatum talk about them painted a picture of a family full of love and warmth. Even Tatum's parents, who had to be in their 60s by now, still seemed deeply in love. It was both admirable and enviable. Where did your grandmother go this time? Elora asked, letting herself relax under Tatum's skilled hands. Tatum, who had already impressed her with his cooking, now added another skill to his list. As the young master of a family worth billions, his versatility continued to surprise her. She went to the provincial capital to visit an old friend, Tatum explained. That friend has a sweet granddaughter my grandmother adores. Grandma visits her every so often and sometimes stays for weeks, even months. Elora chuckled softly. Your grandmother sounds delightful. It's easy to imagine her doting on that little girl. The York family was like a Buddhist temple, peaceful yet devoid of daughters for three generations. There was a saying, if a woman married into the York family and gave birth to a daughter, her status would soar overnight. Elora refocused her attention and said, All right, you should go prepare lunch now. I'll eat once I've finished my work. Tatum immediately stopped and replied with a respectful tone, Of course. I'll get started on lunch right away, young lady. Married at First Sight, Chapter 4058. Chapter 4058. Tatum exited the CEO's office briskly. As he stepped out, he ran into Tinsley, who was on her way to see Elora. Second miss, Tatum greeted politely. Tinsley gave a small nod. Once Tatum walked away, she knocked on the office door and entered. Tatum showed up early today to cook for Elora, she commented casually. Holding a folder in her hand, Tinsley approached Elora's desk. She opened the folder as she sat down and handed it to her sister. Elora, this document is urgent. Please take a look first, she said. Elora took the folder, her eyes scanning the pages as she replied, He comes around the same time every day. He's never early or late. Tinsley added, That guy Lab is here again. She had only just learned that Mr. Lab, the notorious schemer, had shown up yet again asking to meet Elora. Without looking up, Elora responded, I didn't meet him. He brought gifts, claiming they were New Year's presents for us. I had someone return them. He's ambitious and full of bad intentions. We're already too busy protecting ourselves from him. There's no way we'd give him a chance to collaborate with us. The Lab family was influential and powerful, but Elora didn't trust Mr. Lab. She didn't like him either. While outsiders knew little about the internal power struggle within the Lab family, Elora was well aware that their direct lineage had been nearly wiped out. Only the youngest son of the previous family head had survived, and even then, he'd disappeared without a trace. Whether the boy was alive or not remained a mystery, and even if he were alive, the odds of him surviving to adulthood, let alone seeking revenge and reclaiming his family's legacy, were slim. Would Mr. Lab allow that child to grow up? Absolutely not. That man had spent years relentlessly hunting for the boy. Rumors had even reached Mr. Lab that the adopted son of the eldest young lady from the Johnson family might be the missing Lab heir. However, his attempts to verify the claim hit a wall. The Johnson family wasn't one to be trifled with. Not only did he fail to uncover any proof, but his suspicions also alarmed the Johnson family, prompting them to shield their adopted son even further. Soon, there was no trace of the boy. Families close to the Johnsons also denied having seen him. For Mr. Lab, the missing boy was like a heavy stone suspended over his head, one that could fall at any moment, turning into a sharp blade that might end him. Elora set the document aside and said, "I asked around. This time, the man brought a young man with him. One of the security guards overheard the boy calling him Dad. He's probably his eldest son." She continued, "Mr. Lab and his wife have two sons and a daughter. All three are grown now and assist him with his schemes. He clearly favors his eldest son. In fact, Mrs. Lab has managed to maintain her position as his wife largely because her children have become his strongest allies." Pausing briefly, she added, "Whatever he's planning, make sure someone keeps a close watch on them. I want to know who they meet, what they do, everything. We've made too many enemies to take any chances." Elora wasn't afraid of Mr. Lab himself, but she worried about the alliances he might forge with her family's business rivals. If he joined forces with their enemies, the Ormont family could face real trouble.